Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Ball from Quito, and today we're focusing on the latest developments in the life sciences real estate sector with Audrey Sims, Director of Research for Healthcare, Life Sciences and Advisory at JLL. Audrey, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, even before the onset of COVID-19, the life sciences industry was enjoying some strong tailwinds. To what extent has the pandemic accelerated that trend?
Well, that's exactly right. The life sciences sector had already been doing well and is one of the few areas where actually COVID-19 has increased the performance due to stimulation from lots of federal as well as VC funding. Prior to COVID-19, we were at a point with life sciences where we had kind of arrived at a point where many years worth of R&D was starting to pay off and result in not just therapeutics, but also cures or steps toward a cure for many diseases. We had also arrived at a point where you had like less expensive and more accessible gene mapping, personalized medicine, which is coming into vogue. All of those are huge stimulus in terms of demand for pharmaceuticals and medical devices. So really life sciences was on an upswing regardless and was at a VC funding peak in, I believe 2018 was an all-around peak. So the stimulation from Operation Warp Speed and Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority from the federal government is just kind of adding fuel to the fire in a good way.
And the recently released JLL 2020 U.S. Life Sciences Outlook shows that Boston, San Francisco, and San Diego are capturing about 70% of life science venture capital investment. What impact does that have on rent and availability in those markets?
Well, all of these markets, it's kind of a chicken or the egg. So all of the markets had been really tight before, because those three markets are locations where there's a lot of heavy concentration of all kinds of life sciences activity. For San Francisco, it's had the highest rent increases of all the markets, up 106% since 2014. Vacancy has lowered significantly to 7.3%. That's a 400 basis point drop at present. And really, San Francisco is kind of incomparable. You've got a huge wellspring of talent there. You've got all kinds of tech and life sciences basically feeding off each other. You've got Stanford, you've got UCSF, you've got all kinds of stuff, and it's a virtuous circle. Boston has seen rent growth of up to 60% in the past 5 years, and basically 0% vacancy in Cambridge. Boston's kind of the original life science cluster. So because of Harvard and MIT and a lot of other research hospitals. The Seaport neighborhood in Boston is a developing, exciting new submarket where tenants are going because they literally have no other places to go within the market. Vacancy is around 6%, which is much lower than most office vacancies around the country. So you can kind of see how it compares to traditional office. For San Diego, it has kind of an entrepreneurial vibe. It's got an up-and-coming biotech community, a large talent pool due to a variety of factors, UC San Diego and other research institutions. And so it also has a little bit more space. It has some sublease vacancy, although tenant activity is already starting to gobble that up over the past 2 or 3 months. So that San Diego is one to watch as it goes from, you know, a good to a great life sciences market.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the up-and-coming life science hotspots, and what factors, in addition to the focus on COVID vaccines, are boosting those markets?
Well, so other than the kind of top two or three clusters, there's actually 14 that we profile in our life sciences outlook. I would say of the 14 that we profile, the ones that are really speeding up would be Maryland, which includes both the D.C. suburbs and Baltimore. They do have a big push from NIH funding and Operation Warp Speed, the federal program, but they have an existing biotech manufacturing cluster that should grow from all the all the stimulus that's being spread around. Northern Virginia and Richmond can get some spillover from Maryland and D.C. and their proximity to key federal agencies. They also have UVA, Virginia Bio and Tech Park, and VCU's medical campus. Raleigh-Durham is another interesting market. It's definitely been on the radar for a while, but Durham especially is an example of kind of a downtown life sciences market, which helps with entrepreneurism and kind of incubator activity. Houston is one where Hines just announced the Levitt Green development with life sciences as an anchor for lifestyle tenants, which is interesting and kind of speaks to the secularization of life science as a property type. It also has Baylor and MD Anderson and is an affordable market, which is definitely different from some of the, Boston and San Diego. I mean, Boston, San Francisco, and San Diego, which are less affordable. There are a bunch of markets that are kind of coming up and might appear on our rankings soon. Miami has University of Miami Life Sciences and Tech Park. Atlanta is developing a new life sciences cluster after the success of the Georgia Tech cluster over the past 15 years. St. Louis has a lot of institutional strength and also that low cost of living. So there are several to keep your eye on.
Okay. And can you explain the growing importance of good manufacturing practices compliant facilities for life science companies? And are investors fully up to speed with the whole GMP concept?
Well, so the GMP concept is basically the idea of adaptive reuse. It's second generation facilities that have been outgrown, but are ready for new mid-tier companies who have the stimulus of venture capital funding and are ready to get to the next phase to come in and immediately start being productive instead of having to build out their own space. So, I mean, life science build-outs are complex and time-consuming, and innovation moves much faster. So being able to lease GMP space really gets you in a good position to be able to continue your productivity as a life science company. Life science investors are still kind of familiarizing themselves with GMP, but once there's a couple years of good results, that should reflect in the pricing.
And are there any design changes that you think we could see within the life sciences real estate sector going forward?
Well, I mean, of course, like any office space, you could see more space required for social distancing, and you could also see reduced space for, you know, cafeterias, lobbies, anywhere that you're gathering large groups of people. But life sciences is unique in that, among office uses, in that what makes the facilities truly productive is really that lab space that's kind of incomparable and also does not is not replicable from home. So that's what really distinguishes life science spaces and why we feel so good about the future.
And are there any other developments you'll be watching closely in the months ahead?
Well, one interesting development is that, as I mentioned with venture capital, we've seen the rise of mega rounds, and that's a trend to watch. So venture capital is surging and raised $2.8 billion in the first quarter, which is an 88% quarter over quarter increase. And that's according to PricewaterhouseCoopers MoneyTree report. But what's interesting is that a lot of the funding is going to big deals instead of spread out, which kind of indicates that the industry may be stratifying and the winners are really being funded heavily, which could suggest that there might be some M&A potential in the future. So that's something I have my eye on.
Okay, great. Audrey, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, for more news and analysis on REITs and listed real estate, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.